Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company.
Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm so excited to be back here on bizradio.us for the third season of the Veronica Edwards Show. Always got to shout out the V team for really supporting, and I'm loving all the great feedback that I'm getting on the new things that we're doing on social media with different stories. I'm on TikTok. Pray for me. I don't know what the heck I'm doing on TikTok, but I have guidance from a young person that's cool. So let's jump into today's show. So today's guest, I'm super excited, is a filmmaker, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, traveler, and a long-distance hiker, which we're going to talk about because this person has walked from Mexico to Canada. Yeah, stay tuned for that. His film work carries a strong message of hope and resilience. His mission is to tell stories that heal and create sustainable communities. In addition to producing his own projects, this guest works with a variety of organizations, including United Way, Yamoja Health and Wellness, client of Balance Virtually, the Restored Dreams Project, and he's also the resident filmmaker for Counterflow Media, also a client of Balance Virtually, where video storytelling is used to heal and connect diverse communities. So I have so many questions for this super talented guest. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my friend, Mr. Ben Fawn. Welcome to the show, Ben. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Veronica. Glad to be here.
Thank you for making the time. You know, Ben is a very famous filmmaker. He's working on a PBS doc, also working on my husband, Carlos Edwards' press kit. So super famous, super busy. Thank you for making the time, Ben. So we always start the show asking the guests to tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and your story that led you to working in Asheville and doing the amazing work that you're doing, telling the stories of a lot of amazing organizations here in Western North Carolina.
Sure. So I grew up in the DC area and lived kind of all over the world or all over the country. And, you know, as people in their mid-20s tend to make bad decisions and get into trouble, yes. I decided I needed to start fresh somewhere. And I was with a woman at the time. We were living in a van, and I said, I just want to go somewhere I've never been before and start fresh. And she said, well, I heard Asheville's pretty cool. And so we drove down here, parked the van in Montford, and that was 2011, and I haven't left.
So. Oh my gosh, Ben, you are wild living in the van. I got stories on that alone. So, okay, so I didn't know you're from that DC DMV area, and then been here now, gosh, 13 years. And so I know personally from just working with you that you started your career as a professional musician. So how did you get into music? What instruments you play? I know that you're a multi-instrumentalist. So I would love to hear about all that because, as you know, V-Team, my husband Carlos Edwards released his Christmas EP, which Counterflow helped with the website. Counterflow is also helping with the press kit so Carlos can start gigging locally. So Ben has really become like a mentor to Carlos, which we really appreciate. So for those listening, I would love for you to share how you made it as a professional musician. You weren't necessarily on MTV, BET, all that stuff before it was all the YouTube and all that. And you were very successful. So if you can please share that with the listeners, I know they would love to hear about that journey.
Sure. So I grew up and my dad is an amazing pianist and a singer, and he would be playing Chopin's Nocturnes, which are these just incredibly beautiful, somewhat sad piano pieces. So I grew up to that music and was just playing from a young age, and you know, played guitar in high school, mainly just, you know, to impress people and try and be cool. And but then, you know, as I grew into more of an artist and started writing songs, and yeah, you know, my original goal was to try and create my original music and be able to tour and share that with the world. And I pursued that path for some years, and I ended up feeling it really burned me out. It's exhausting to kind of share that vulnerably, you know, on a regular basis. And so I started doing, you know, private events and other gigs that paid well and weren't quite as taxing on the, you know, on the lifestyle.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, that the majority of professional musicians you've never heard of, they're playing, you know, weddings, private events, they're teaching, they're working, you know, locally in you know, the you know, your Justin Bieber's and, you know, Taylor Swift's are a very, very tiny fraction of the professional musicians. They're making, you know, way more money than any of the others.
But, yeah. Yes.
But you can make a decent living at music, you know, and not be famous if you're willing to work hard. And I mean, you don't get rich, but so, yeah, so that's been the journey. And then I can kind of consider myself a recovering professional musician.
How long has it been since you've been recovered?
I'm not. I'm recovering. Yeah. I'm still like healing from the burnout of playing like 4 or 5 nights a week and just being in public and late nights. And it really took a toll on me. And so now, I do filmmaking, and I'm able to pick and choose the gigs that I play. You know, I don't take gigs below a certain price point. And if a gig is too late at night, you know, I think about not playing it, or travel if it's too far. So I'm getting back to where music is something I enjoy and love again.
Yay. I'm happy to hear that, because you know we're going to be reaching out to you when Carlo starts gigging, like, hey, we need a guitar player. Are you available to help out? But no, cool. I'm glad you talked about that, because again, in entrepreneurship, it's very easy to get burnt out. We just had a CPA chat, one of my other segments, where we talked about the burnout is real. And I am definitely a fan of multiple streams of income. You know, now that I've been in entrepreneurship for 6 years, I'm like, you can't just rely, even for myself, just on bookkeeping. I also coach and I also consult, and there's so many things, and I also teach. So I love that you're not giving up on your passion, which it sounds like that's just a God-given talent that you have as a musician. But I love to hear that you're branching into other talents that you have, like filmmaking. So tell us, how did you fall into filmmaking, if you're self-taught, if you're taking clients, and what type of filmmaking that you make?
Yeah. Before it, I hope if you don't mind, you mentioned the word talent. And for me, I don't really know that I'm that talented. And
oh, come on.
Well, I think skill, I prefer to use the word skilled when I talk, you know, I'm very skilled. I'm very skilled. But it's come with a lot of hours, you know.
Yes.
Growing up, one of my best friends was this prodigy musician, and he just learned everything so fast, and I wanted to keep up with him. So I put in twice the amount of work, and I still couldn't keep up with him. And over the years and years, you know, putting in that time, is how you become skilled at something. And I just wanted to say that, you know, if anyone's listening and they think that, oh, I'm not talented, I can't do that. And I just don't think that's true. I think if you put in the time, then you can learn to become skilled. So
yes, I'm so glad that you added that. Absolutely. I tell people all the time that for me, people like, oh, Veronica, you have all this energy, blah, 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 and you're good at this. But to your point too, because I'm up early, you know, doing work, and I'm staying up late while everybody else is asleep, researching things. So yes, hard work definitely pays off. So yes, tell us about how you fell into filmmaking, which is also, I feel like, part of that artistic part of your brain also.
Absolutely. So originally I got into video to support my music, because I would hire videographers and I'd be taking a guitar solo and they'd be filming the bass player or something. Like
that. You're like, come on.
Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to just learn a little bit of this to, you know, just be able to shoot some of my own music videos and record my own music. And so that was really how it started. And then, you know, like as I shared, as I kind of got burned out, I realized that I was becoming skilled in this other thing that I could use, and that there was a potential for it being better for my mental health, supporting a better lifestyle, and not being the center of attention all the time with it, you know? So
now I know that you mentioned that you moved to Asheville back in 2011. When do you say like the burnout started for you with music and you started to transition into filmmaking? How long has that been?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. It's not a linear process, really. It's more cyclical, I think. But yeah, so I started doing music professionally in 2015. And then when COVID happened, I was already kind of struggling for the year or two leading up to COVID. And then when that happened, everything shut down and there was no work, no gigs. And that forced me to reevaluate, and it gave me the space to reevaluate in a way that I hadn't had before. Mm-hmm. And so that was the big transition for me. And that's when I decided, all right, I'm going to take some time off and hike the Continental Divide Trail. And then when I was on the Continental Divide Trail, I filmed just with my phone. I filmed the journey, and we did a fundraiser for a nonprofit. And on that hike, that 5 month long hike, I decided, okay, I'm going to really like pursue video. So that's what I did.
Wow. And, you know, I just had a guest on the show, Nakonda Garcia, where we were talking about the power of the pause, you know, like trying to figure out what your next move is going to be. Sometimes you just have to pause and just figure out, okay, what's the next move? And you very just real smooth just said, oh yeah, when I was just taking a 5 month hike, it's like, what? Let's talk about that, because I was reading Ben's bio, who I've been working with now for the last few months, working on Carlos's press kit and things like that, had no idea back in 2014, Ben walked from Mexico to Canada with a guitar and all of his belongings on his back. And this was a 2,668 mile journey. Whoa. Wow. Tell me all about it. Yeah. So, you know, we always ask the guests to give us different tips and jewels. You got to tell us about, you know, why did you make this journey? How it inspired you? What would you recommend people doing this type of hike? How would they go about doing it? I mean, give me all the tea on this, because I'm just so intrigued.
Sure. Well, starting off, it was a mini guitar, so much lighter than a guitar. Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, the wilderness and being in wild spaces is one of the primary ways that I recharge and get in touch with who I am and my creativity. And I think that's true for a lot of people, and especially in kind of the modern world, you know, where we're always on our phones and driving around, that to carve out the space is really powerful. So, yeah, for me, I hiked the Appalachian Trail when I was in college, in the summers when I was in college. And then I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail in 2014. And that's on that hike is when I decided to do music professionally. And then in 2022, I hiked the Continental Divide Trail. And that's when I decided to do video professionally. So taking those pauses has really given me, you know, because you're a, you know, a financial person, it's like, I think oftentimes we get into this trap of a scarcity mindset where we think I have to work and I have to make as much money as possible. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, when I've taken that time off from work, it's allowed me to recharge and get more clarity. And then I'm able to make more money and do things that I love even more. And it's actually puts me ahead in the long run if I'm willing to take that time. And also there's a certain amount of privilege. I do want to say too, it's, you have to have some savings to be able to do that. And not everybody has that with, you know, certain things. So I want to acknowledge the privilege in that.
Well, you know, as the number person, you know, I'm gonna be a little nosy and just ask. So like, how much is that, you know, like for you to take a hike, even like when you said, oh, like summers, I would just do like the Appalachian Trail. Like, what does that consist of? Of course, we know you have to be able to maintain if you have an apartment and all that stuff, but what's the cost of actually being out there for that amount of time?
Yeah. Well, when I hiked the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail, I gave up my places to live. So I wasn't paying rent anywhere. And
smart. And
definitely, you know, keeping things minimal. On the CDT, it was harder because I owned a home and was in a, you know, relationship and had, you know, owned my business and stuff. So that was a lot harder to maintain. Those things.
Yes.
But the cost can really vary. The Appalachian Trail is the cheapest because there's more infrastructure around it. There's more hostels. You can get to town more often. But getting to town more often can make things more expensive depending on your personality.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, it really varies. I don't want to give specific numbers because it's even changed in the last few years.
Just a range.
Yeah. So if you do things really cheaply, when you're in town, if you stay at campgrounds, if you don't go out to eat a ton, if you, you know, buy food from the grocery store, it's cheaper than a vacation for sure. You know, you can make it as expensive as you want though. If you go to town and you get a nice hotel room and you're going out to eat a lot and you're buying a lot of new gear, you know, it really can vary and everybody hikes differently. I hike the AT and the PCT pretty cheap. And then on the CDT, I was in my mid-30s and I was like, I need that motel room, y'all.
So. I know that's right. And the CDT is the Continental Divide Trail. So that's where it was. Is that Mexico to Canada?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So I just have to get like one of your craziest stories. Like, what is one of the wildest things that you experienced doing this? Because in my mind, as a mom, I'm like, don't you talk to no strangers. There's going to be a trucker that's going to kidnap you. You're going to get sex traffic, all the crazy versus I love that your experience. Like I was enlightened. I was able to pause. I was able to figure out my next steps. Did you see a lot of acts of kindness while you were out on the trail? Or were there times where you're like, you know what? I'm ready to get home.
Let me tell you this. The only times I was afraid of people was in towns. It was never, never in the backcountry, never in the wilderness. When we're walking down the city street, we see 10 people walking towards us, we keep our head down and walk by. But when you're out in 100-mile range and there's 5 people, you know, you see each other and you give each other the shirt off your back because you're out there and there's a sense of responsibility for each other that's really, really beautiful. We're not accustomed generally to being in wild spaces, but I believe that it's way safer than driving 100%. If you do your research and you learn and you build up to it, way safer than driving down the road. That driving is dangerous. That's
driving
scary.
Is very dangerous. I tell people all the time, like, they'll be like, oh, Veronica, you're just flying to Atlanta. I'm like, I'll get there in 30 minutes. It's safer. Yeah. I don't have to worry about being at 85 with some of these folks that are on their phone and all the devices and all the distractions. Yeah. But I love hearing you say that it was when you were in town, but when you were out in nature. And again, I always bring up my husband, Carlos, but, you know, he loves to off-road and he loves to be in his Wrangler. And he always says that he feels closest to God. He gets clarity. He likes being on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which I know is way, you know, watered down versus, you know, the trails and the journeys that you have. And another question I have for that for you, Ben, were you by yourself or were you always with at least one other person when you were traveling?
Yeah, so I typically start off by myself and hike for a couple months on my own, and I'll see people and, you know, talk to people, but generally camp alone the first couple months of my through hikes. And then I tend to group up with, you know, one or two people. And I even hiked with a group of 5 people in Colorado and then finished with 3. But when you're hiking that far, you know, you don't hike the same speed as people. So that generally means you're just camping in the same place. Uh-huh. And even some nights, like, I really, really like camping alone. I think it's one of the most powerful experiences, and I'm still scared to do it. Like every night, you know, I do it. I've done it a lot. There's a time, like 30 seconds where I'm just like, I am scared.
Yes.
And then it passes and you wake up and it's just a beautiful thing to do.
Oh man. I want to end the show with that because that definitely is the epitome of fear, and that could be applied to entrepreneurship, being a parent, being in relationships. You're always going to have that moment for like 30 seconds where you're like, why the heck am I doing this? I'm scared. I'm a failure. That whole imposter syndrome, it passes and you're like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm glad that I did it. So thank you so much, Ben, for sharing your experiences, you know, just with the long distance hiking, with being a professional musician, then going into filmmaking, sharing amazing stories of people in the community, which I'm such a big, advocate of just making sure that we can detail some of these things while we're here. I'm so thankful that while my dad was living, my dad was also a musician, Latin percussion, you know, so he did bongos and the clave and the congas and all that stuff. And he had a band that he played with. And I was able to get a video made of him. And I can always go back. And that's just a small sliver of filmmaking. But what you're doing and what you're capturing for people is huge. So thank you for the work that you're doing. And also that you're still, you know, providing your skills, not necessarily your talents, when it comes to music, because we definitely know that music can have a healing aspect to it as well. So thank you so much, Ben, for taking time out of your busy day to come on the show. And I just want to thank the listeners for tuning in to bizradio.us for the Veronica Edwards Show on all platforms on Wednesdays. And if you missed the live airing, you can listen to all prior shows at veronicaedwards.buzzsprout.com. Again, Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Veronica, for the show and for all the work you're doing in the community. It's really valued and appreciated.
No problem.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.